Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Live, Dave.
I know I'm live. But see, this is how we do it. You comment on the songs, and then I go live, 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, and Eric Reinhardt. But, well, can't do it now because I just did it, and you were going to describe the song.
Oh, okay. So you don't want to know what the song is?
Yeah, I do.
Because Divergent. This is from Divergent, Fight For You by Pia Mia.
And what song?
Wouldn't that be nice to have a name like Pia Mia?
No.
No, that would be... I think we could make up rhymes right now on that.
I think he just did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was built into the name.
Right. But, yeah, anyway, Fight For You. That's a song from the movie.
And there are people that will fight for you, Joseph.
Sure, of course.
At the Shannon. Ball throw. Yeah. Shannon. Oh. Okay, maybe not.
People are just, like, fighting all over me for me.
You do know she doesn't realize that we're joking on here, that she's probably, like, really, like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, like I said, you've scared so many people off. Yeah, you've scared so many people. All of my friends, like I said.
Danny.
No, Danny loves when he hears his name, but there's a certain guy who does not like me to say his name, and I've said it a couple times.
Oh, Ted?
No. What?
The little teddy bear.
Yeah. I don't
remember.
So... So two of us like the Divergent.
Yes, and
so we both give thumbs up. Dave didn't, but he had weird reasons behind it.
Right.
Good reasons.
No, it was awful.
Boom.
And a little bit later on, we'll talk a little more about Divergent because I did interview two of the actors.
Absolutely. Ooh. And real quick, before we go away from Divergent, what's the actress's
name?
That's
not real quick.
Shailene Woodley?
Yeah, Woodley.
Shailene Woodley.
Woodley, Lawrence, or Stewart?
I would...
Murder, Mary, Peep.
Honestly,
that's easy.
I'm not going to play that game because we'll get in trouble for that one. But
I'll play that game.
You want to play that?
I can name that tune in two notes.
All right, we'll play it later.
Jennifer Lawrence.
You can play that off air.
Yeah. Eric, what do you say, Jennifer Lawrence?
What was my choice?
We won't even play the game.
Who are you most attracted to?
Who would you pick, Joseph?
What are the three choices?
To play the game. Jennifer Lawrence, Kristen Stewart, and Woodley.
Well, Kristen Stewart's definitely out of the picture. And I think it's the third one.
Jennifer Lawrence.
No.
Shailene Woodley?
Yes.
Yeah, Shailene
Woodley.
Which
one's that?
In Divergent that you just saw, Dave.
Oh, that one.
I just looked her up and she's cute.
Yeah. I would say that Shailene Woodley's probably the most talented of them, but honestly, I'm most attracted to the wet dish rag.
Who's that?
Kristen Stewart.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she's cute.
She's a wet dish rag?
She looks like Justin Bieber.
Don't tell her mother that we said that, which we talked to her before.
Yeah, she was on the show. But why? What does that have to do with what did you say?
A wet dish rag?
Yeah, what
is that? Because that's how she acts.
Oh, she does?
I don't think she's very talented.
She's not talented at all.
No, but I think she's hot.
Not Jennifer Lawrence?
No, I'm sorry. I do not like Jennifer
Lawrence.
Well,
how about that other one? Amanda Siegfried. And
no,
right.
I'm over her because she's like so.
Oh, that's too bad.
Promiscuous and shows her body to everyone. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
All I was trying to do is just have him choose between the three main.
I'm picking Kristen Stewart
of the book.
Did he
pick Kristen Stewart?
Yes.
Eric picked Woodley. I pick Woodley. Dave picks Lawrence, right?
Yeah. So would Bradley Cooper? He'd pick Lawrence.
He probably would. No, and they all have great things about that.
What are
some
of the things you're talking about?
Yeah, we'll talk about it now. But
well. You know, here's the good thing. You said before we get off of Divergent, we're not going to get off of Divergent for this segment.
I would really like to get on Divergent.
All right. Well, we're gonna remain on it for right now because, you know, here on Breakthrough Entertainment, we talk about the practical perspectives of the topics and themes explored in movies, and the perspective in this movie, in Divergent, is divergence versus convergence, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to know exactly what that means. You posed the question earlier, Dave, right?
What was the question I posed?
You posed, what is the definition of divergence?
Yeah, I did.
And right now we have an expert who can tell us all about that and a whole lot more. She is the director of Center for Cultural Studies and Analysis. Her name is Dr. Margaret J. King. Thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment.
My pleasure.
So, Dr. King, you know, tell us a little bit about what does divergent mean and what does convergent mean?
Well, these are important words because they describe two kinds of thinking. And we have two brains. Well, we have multiple brains, but the two critical ones to understand are the logical, rational brain, which is also often called the left brain, and then the intuitive, empathetic, freewheeling brain, which is the divergent brain on the right-hand side. We use both of these systems in our thinking all the time. We're not really that aware of what part we're using, but divergent thinking is by far the richest resource that we have as thinkers, as balanced human beings.
Is that, well, I guess what you're talking about, where the people that use divergent thinking, they're balancing both their right and left brain and looking at it from different perspectives so they can gain more information?
That's right. The divergent way of thinking is casting a very, very wide net. Brainstorming is an example that people are usually very familiar with, where you're putting no constraints on your thinking at all. You're not making judgments about the ideas that you come up with, and you are building on those ideas and building as many as ideas as possible. The idea is to generate as much and as many ideas as possible without judging them. That's the function of the other type of thinking, which is the convergent kind, which asks critical questions. The divergent kind is completely lawless. It's a maverick type of thinking, which is why people are in business particularly are a little bit wary of it because they're not sure where it's going to lead them.
You know, it's interesting, and I appreciate what you're saying. And by the way, your website is outstanding. I was reading it earlier today. But you mentioned the word judgment. You know, when you do brainstorming or divergent thinking, judgment shouldn't be part of that process. And from my way of thinking, correct me if I'm wrong, if you use judgment in a brainstorming session, then you're cutting off possibilities of working on something that might work, and it's almost like negotiating against yourself. Like, people have excuses like, oh, I don't have time, I don't have the money to do this, I can't, I won't, you know, whatever excuse. Is that correct? Is that a correct way of thinking, that if you use judgment, then you're really cutting off exploring something that may be amazing?
Well, that's the whole problem, because we are kind of raised in our culture to very much value judgment. So we do cut off these paths, these divergent paths, before we can even map them out and look at them and say, that might be an interesting way to go, an unsuspected way to go. An example of that is Philo T. Farnsworth, who is the, by the way, the founder of television, who was out, you know, in his farm setting, watching his father plow the fields, and saw the rows that were coming out of that plowing, and asked some questions: could you scan an image that way? And that's where we got television, from that very unexpected, from the farm landscape, which is not a place you would normally go to find that. And, you know, another example, Einstein came up with the theory of relativity by imagining himself riding on a beam of light. And these are wild, divergent ideas that diverge from what you would think would be the topic. You know, they're off topic. So we have to, divergent thinking is a license that we give ourselves to come up with some very unexpected ways of looking at problems that may seem completely unrelated. And Heraclitus, you know, in ancient Greece, sixth century BC, early Greece, said that the unexpected connection is far more valuable than the obvious one. That really is the beginning of our appreciation for divergence.
And once again, for our listeners, if anyone's just joining us, I just want to mention that we are speaking with Dr. Margaret J. King. She is the director of the Center for Cultural Studies and Analysis. The website that Dave mentioned earlier, it's culturalanalysis.com. I know, Dave, you got another question?
You know, part of your website, you have a quote from Albert Einstein. I just love his quotes and, of course, what he did in the world. But the formulation of the problem is often more essential than its solution. Have you heard of neuro-linguistic programming?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I'm a master practitioner. I do that in combined with business consulting. I'm a CPA. But in business and life, but I focus on business. That is so important, to be able to frame the question. The quality of the question will dictate the quality of the answer. Can you speak a little bit more about that?
Yes, actually, I have a companion quote to that from Peter Drucker, who really defined the knowledge economy in the 60s. He said, it's not going to be about how much information you have anymore, because information is widely available. We all, you know, we can get on the internet in 10 seconds and come up with a lifetime's worth of information, and that's growing exponentially. But what Drucker said, and I often quote him because he is the father of marketing the father of looking at business in a very comprehensive way. And what he said is, the problem is not our wrong answers, but asking the wrong questions. And that's the parallel to, you can't solve a problem on the same level that it exists. You know, you have to move that up. So we're really talking about philosophical matters here. We're talking about how human beings grow through choice, which is I think the theme of Divergent, the movie that's coming out, and the power of thinking, and the power of the way in which we think about problems, to make us, you know, to make us human, to make us well-rounded, to refuse to be categorized, as in the film, in the novels, and take on this. Enormous task, this lifetime task, of looking across all of the human skill bases, and those are very many, to make connections, to make those connections that Heraclitus, you know, cited, the creative connections, and that's the CQ, the creativity quotient of our thinking, and that's where our solutions for the future are going to come from.
No doubt about it. Dr. King, do you, as an organization, I looked, and you have an impressive list of clients that you have.
We do.
I mean, from NASA to Walt Disney, you know, DuPont. I mean, it goes on and on. Procter & Gamble, General Mills, Best Buy. What do you do for them? Do you teach them a different way of thinking? Do you also use any NLP techniques in your programs?
Not per se. What we do is look at the human brain and the human behavior, the brain behavior and biology. We look at the most fundamental factor in business, which is the human being, human factors. What are people predisposed to buy? How are they predisposed to think? Those are the start points for business. You don't start with the product. You start with the product user. So a lot of this, the creativity approach that we take, creative thinking and Myers-Briggs and some of those tools are really an exploration of what our basic needs are in terms of our culture, because human thinking is organized by the cultural values that we live in, we don't pay attention to because they're so intuitive to us. That's what we look at, and that's difficult to map and difficult to be conscious of because, you know, we work on the seat of the pants. We work intuitively in most of our thinking and by patterns that are very ingrained. So to step outside those patterns and to look at them consciously and analytically, that's our mandate.
You know, I was reading on your website, and of course, in business, you know, people always want to know how to sell, how to market. They confuse sales with marketing.
Yeah.
They think it's the same thing. It's completely different processes. But I saw something I totally agree with, again, on your website, is that it says, you know, people don't buy features. They buy from their value system. And talk a little bit more about that.
Well, our value system is, as I said, almost, you know, invisible to us. It's embedded in our brain. A five-year-old child is pretty sure to be able to tell you, for example, in America, what's fair and what's not fair. And fairness is a very complicated concept, but we deal with these things intuitively. In fact, the American system has features in it that are found really just here. And most of the world is based on communitarian concepts, the family, the clan, the tribe. You know, you don't make decisions by yourself. You make them, this goes back to the movie as well. You don't make them for yourself. You make them for the group. You make them within the group context. You make them under consultation with other people. We're one of the few places on Earth, or maybe the major one, which is why we're such a draw for immigration, is that we believe that the individual has the right to be self-directed, to be autonomous, and to think for ourselves. That's very rare in the rest of the world. We have that luxury. So that's one of the values, that's the primary value, the prime directive, if you will, that drives all of our thinking. Our mobility is an outcome of that. Our feeling that everybody, you know, each person needs their own car. We're not very good at mass transit because we really don't believe that. We really believe everybody's autonomous and self-directed and should be that way. We call them the shoulds, the cultural values, the way we think things should be. And those, there's a short list of those, which is, I think, on the website. And that drives everything we do and the way that we think and the way that we make decisions every day from, you know, the toaster that we buy to the college we attend and the person we marry and where we live, all those things are driven by cultural imperatives, I call them, those shoulds. So if you want to understand yourself and your customers, of course, in business, you need to understand those essential drivers. And there isn't much research there because we assume that we know. we know how we make decisions, so we assume, you know, that's true for everyone. But that doesn't help you to get it out on the table and look at it and be analytical about it.
Very true, very true. And, well, if our listeners want to know more information about this topic, go to culturalanalysis.com, the Center for Cultural Studies and Analysis. We're speaking with the director of that, Dr. Margaret J. King. Dr. King, thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Entertainment to talk about Divergence.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was a great interview. You know, these are topics I just really love because it relates to a lot of things I do during the day, including neuro-linguistic programming combined with business. The power of the unconscious mind. Mm-hmm. She was quite correct. I use the same analogy she uses where, you know, if more information was the key to success, then how do you explain the internet having, you know, lightning speed information at your fingertips, but no one, there's no more success in the world? It's the mindset. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Well, let's head into a break. The song that's going to take us into the break is from Divergent again. This one is called Find You by Zed.
Zed?
Yeah,
oh, that's one
song.
Of your friends at the bar crawl.
Yeah, I'm not
Zed.
Supposed to say Zed.
Zed's dead, baby.
I'm sorry, Dead Zed.
Dead.
What did I say?
Oh, Dead Zed.
What you said?
Oh, you know, there's a Zed Fair.
Zed's dead from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, like that one. John Travolta. I mean, Travolta. And that's Joseph singing live from 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona.
Dance break.
Dance. You're going to do some salsa dancing next week on the table. We'll be right back.
2 weeks.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Pulling a thread on through the fabric in my head. What is it I sew? How will it fit what I make? And I sew on.
What do you want me to? I don't have.
We rehearsed this last time, Joseph.
I don't young have the Joseph, song information.
Right. Young Joe from Bonanza. Remember, you're going to come in, and we're going to do this live right now. You're going to come in. Eric remembers, and you're going to describe the song, and then I'm going to go live from the 1480 AM studios, KBHX in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Verdol, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinhardt. But you didn't do that again.
But I have to say, that's not how you've always been doing it.
I haven't.
You've always come in with the, you're listening to Breakthrough.
Listen to the last month. I didn't tell anyone, but I've been doing it this way. It was so professionally done, beautifully done, that I don't know, that I get a raise.
Right?
I do.
You do?
I don't.
Why not?
I don't know. Did you get a raise?
You're in charge. Give yourself a raise.
Oh, yeah, yes. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I now proclaim Dave, Divergent Thinking, and Extra... million.
Wow. Well, I kind of I didn't exactly want to mention the song because it's from a horrible movie called Beautiful Creatures.
Oh, I love that movie.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Sort of.
Well, it was the song was Needle and Thread by Alice Englert.
Alice and
Englert.
And
not
and
Alice
Wonderland?
And not Alice and Lert. Alice Englert.
No, Alice in Wonderland.
Through the looking glass.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay, so
yeah, anyway, Beautiful Creatures. Eric, did you see Beautiful Creatures?
That one? Who was in it?
Some girl that was sort of cute. What was her name?
I see it on Netflix and stuff. I'm not sure I've seen it.
Oh, you know who was in that?
Yeah.
Emmy Rossum was in that.
Yeah, know that one?
I have not seen it.
It was about a bunch of witches and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, then I definitely don't care for that.
Wasn't very good, but... I thought you were going to make a joke and say, when I said, have you seen Beautiful Creatures? And I thought you were
going to
say, I see Kathleen every day.
Yeah, see?
She's only one.
Let's try it again.
Beautiful Creatures.
What, you're looking at us?
She's not a creature.
What, you're looking at us every
All
Saturday?
All three of you are beautiful creatures.
See?
Oh.
Well, who's the creature and who's the beauty and the beast? All right. Anyway, back to you, Joseph.
Well, there's a lot of other movies. We're going to return to Divergent in a little bit. But
like
right now.
Like a year from now?
No, we got some other topics to
the
talk about with
coming
Divergent.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay.
But before
we got more guests too.
Yes, we got more guests coming up. But right now we got to talk about a few other movies that are coming out.
Oh yeah, The Face.
Yes.
Of Love.
You want to talk about The Face of Love first? Okay.
Okay.
Annette Bening plays a widow who, several years after the loss of her husband, meets a man played by Ed Harris who looks exactly like him. Suddenly, a flood of old feelings rush back to her. She has met the love of her life.
Don't say what you give it. Greg again. And Eric, do you think it's thumbs up or thumbs down? I think it's thumbs down for Joseph.
I haven't seen the movie, but I'm going to go ahead and say thumbs down as well.
Greg?
Wait, do you said Ed Harris was in it?
Ed Harris is in it and Robin Williams as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thumbs up.
You think thumbs up?
He's going to give it a thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
And you saw this movie as
I
well?
I saw it last night.
Okay. Well, let's see if I liked it. You know? Yes, I did.
Yeah,
I'm giving
it
a thumbs up.
Today.
It's
Vegas I go. I'll be back.
This is a movie that manages to be both spectacularly suspenseful and remarkably romantic at the same time. It's a little bit anticlimactic. I will say that it's a very anticlimactic. It lightly glides to its conclusion rather than delivering a dramatic apex. I really wanted to see something happen.
Apex.
Near the end. Yes, like the peak. I wanted to see.
I thought
something.
It was a pretty good apex.
I bet. But I wanted to see something, you know, really dramatic happen at the end. There is a really tense moment with the daughter in the film. I thought that was a great scene, but I wanted more of that. I wanted to see more of Robin Williams. I thought that he was very underutilized in this movie. His presence is almost entirely wasted. However, it remains completely consuming from beginning to end, using the idea of doppelgangers, which Greg and I know is a topic that I Met Your Mother talks about on a
candy
regular
bar.
Basis.
Yeah,
doppelgangers, beautiful candy bar. Wonderful.
Yes.
What? Anyway, it demonstrates the role that fantasy plays in attraction, as well as how our minds prevent us from ever truly letting go of lost love, topic maybe we can talk about in a moment, but obviously I'm giving it a thumbs up, as I said. Go see The Face of Love. Dave, do you agree or disagree?
Eric, Joseph, Greg, what did I give it?
I think you thumbed down it because...
Thumb down?
Yeah, because...
I'm going to say up.
Up?
I have no idea.
No, you get pick one. You're 50-50 on this one.
We'll leave it at theirs.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. He's not...
Sorry, I multitask.
He's non-committal.
you can guess in 2 seconds.
No, it's okay.
Oh, wow. Non-committal.
I'm going to say up. Eric says down.
It's up.
It's up. Yes.
I saw this. First of all, the cast.
3 for 3 I've been wrong.
Yeah. The cast was.
Do trivia again.
I love the cast. I mean, you know, Annette Bening, Ed Harris, very, very fine actors. I thought it was quite creepy from a psychological point of view. That's the first thing that came out. Two great actors. But here's what great films do. I started thinking to myself, wondering how would it be. How would I react from both of three points of view, from the daughter, from Annette Bening, and Ed Harris? And I think the daughter was right on, you know. And I won't say the scene, but it was a fantastic scene.
That was a really good scene.
And I thought the mom, although I couldn't relate as well,
Annette Bening, where she was coming from.
But I could see it's possible, you know, based on the facts and circumstances of this film and the storyline. And the boyfriend, though, I thought I couldn't relate quite to him. I thought he was way too understanding under the circumstances. I won't say that.
Right.
But nice guy, as nice as guys there are, well, that guy was phenomenal.
That's the anticlimactic thing that I was talking about. Yeah. I thought that, you know, his character would have reacted a little bit differently to that situation. But I love the reaction from the daughter.
Oh.
And, yeah, I don't know, Dave. I mean, obviously, I haven't been in her situation. I haven't had anyone, you know, someone who I love die. You know, romantic interest die. But I imagine if I was interested in someone and they weren't interested back, and then someone looked like that person, and yet they acted a little bit differently, I think that I would be chasing that person, you know, thinking, you know, now I can experience something, you know, in her place it was experience it all over again. But in my place, I would like make up for that lost love.
Well, and that's what happened. I mean, she really wanted a replacement, evidently.
Yeah. Now it's creepy, but it's very relatable.
But it could be relatable. Now, here's what is very relatable. Yeah. Everyone has what's called unconscious attraction strategies and unconscious selection criteria. And I use the word unconscious because most people have no clue it's going on. And the slightest thing can get you involved with someone on an unconscious attraction strategy. You don't know it. It could be the sound of someone's voice. It could be just a certain nonverbal gesture, you know, facial gesture or anything. It could be, you know, it could be just something in from a smell point of view, just is it cologne or perfume.
So what you're saying is, you know, if we're attracted to someone, we might be attracted for a reason that we don't even know.
That's right. There's no question about that. And it's good to know what that unconscious attraction strategy is, because why do people keep repeating usually? They may go out with someone, that terminate the, you know, break up with the person, and then go out with a similar type personality.
I could see the personality point, but I'm more curious about the, you know, the smell thing. And I mean, well, that's interesting to me.
Like
that
you may have a certain, you know, like I mean, if you went out with someone and there's a certain perfume that girl wore, you know, and you could, it could be like 20 years ago. I mean, well, in your case, it couldn't, but I mean, you're too young, but you know, it could be in Eric's case. No. So, you know, in our cases, even 5 years ago, and you wouldn't know, you wouldn't necessarily know that's what it was, but it will trigger memories unconsciously of maybe some of the good times.
An emotional memory.
No doubt about it.
And the emotional memories are the strongest ones.
Yeah, and smell is one of the strongest of the sensations. Yeah. You know, you got visual, auditory, kinesthetic, that's on a feeling level. And you know, so I have a seminar called "How to Recognize Red Flags in Potential Partners."
Oh, and when is this? When can we buy tickets?
I will announce this in the upcoming weeks, and it's really interesting because it is about unconscious selection criteria.
What's it called again?
How to Recognize Red Flags in Potential Partners.
Presented by Dave Isaac.
Well, NLP.
Okay.
CPA part. they may not come, but. But it is true. It's real. You know, people have long lists of criteria. You know, this is what I want in someone. You know, I suggest people make a long list of criteria of what they should be to attract who they want.
They should be?
Yeah, what you want to be first. What are the qualities?
Why should anyone change who they are?
Well, no, because we can all improve. Right?
Oh, says you.
Oh, yeah. That's
I'm a pretty perfect the way I am, Dave.
Oh, you Knuckles. Guys are cool. But anyway, but you know what I'm saying, that because there's certain maybe other skill sets, maybe there's certain thinking styles like divergent thinking that maybe someone wants to go ahead and upgrade their skill level. But the point is that people have a long list, you know, women, men, you know, what do you want? You know, a non-smoker, this, that, whatever it is. Maybe a professional person, maybe not. But the unconscious ones is what you really got to understand. What is drawing you to the same
people? Yes, I love unconscious women.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's tequila will do the trick. So, but the point is, and this
you're
really
talking about something totally different.
Oh yeah, good point. The real point is that if you don't know what you're attracted to unconsciously, and as important is what is the woman that you think you're attracted to? How are they unconsciously attracted to you? That would be good to know.
That would be really good to know. And how about if you know what that thing is? Is it possible to get rid of, like, if you keep being attracted to, since we're using the
like bad boys or something?
Well, let's use the perfume thing.
Okay.
If you suddenly realize, okay, it's that perfume. Is it possible to eliminate that?
You don't eliminate it. You give it less weight. It doesn't automatically control you not knowing and covering up maybe some of the inner qualities of, in this case, let's say a woman, that may not be as conducive or supportive to the relationship, where the perfume seems to just create a fantasy, which will wear off. But you have to go and see through that barrier, that attraction. They call it chemistry. I think chemistry is just a learned behavior at an unconscious level. And so many people say, oh, I need chemistry. And, I've talked to a lot of people during the seminars, and they go, yeah, I need chemistry. I go, what does that mean? Well, then I find my soulmate. Then what happens then? Well, I don't know, because I broke up 5 times. I've had 5 different soulmates this year. So it defies logic. So there's something going on within their own unconscious mind. Selecting people, it doesn't work. And sometimes some of the criteria here, some of the reasons, is some women and men think, hey, they are not deserving of a certain type of kind, generous, intelligent, some type of really nice type of person.
So they reject the nice guys and go for the bad boys.
Because maybe that's how they were treated early on in their life, and they think that's what they deserve. There's things going on like that.
And maybe that's what they deserve.
Well, no.
If they think that way.
I don't think that's what they deserve. They think they deserve that. I think no one deserves to be treated horribly. That's my opinion, Eric.
And you're sticking with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll disagree. No, I'm kidding.
No, but you know what I'm saying. But I think it's really important, because too much weight is put on criteria that is superficial. See, people are looking for...
But...
Yes.
Isn't it okay to be attracted to somebody who is good looking?
It is. And as long as you know the other qualities in the long term are the ones that are going to support the long term relationship. And you can have it all, but you can't then only pick, good looks as one criteria, or just financially wealthy as one criteria. It never works. It doesn't work.
Like in Saving Silverman.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yes, of course. I'm trying to remember that.
He was,
Jason Biggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where he was being controlled by the woman.
Yeah, yes. There is an example. And of course, your own level of self-esteem has things to do with it as well. But I just don't think people go deep enough to understand that, because the divorce rate is off the charts almost in every state, and people just break up left and right. They think it's easy. And they're more in love with the idea of love rather than the person.
Okay.
You think?
By the way, I was trying to relate this to a movie.
Oh, good.
So, yes, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to bring it back down to Breakthrough Entertainment.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Okay, back to Joseph.
Because, Dave, your talk is great for a seminar, but very boring.
It's excellent.
No, I get what you're saying, and it is an interesting topic, but it does, the face of love brings out all those kind of things.
It does.
It's a movie. You're going to talk about it afterwards.
But that was a good point that brought up, because a lot of people you just kind of want to be with someone.
Yeah.
And they think, it doesn't matter, just so they can say, hey, I have someone.
And there are some people who are the complete opposite. They just don't want to be with someone, and they're completely closed to the idea of a relationship.
And the key word is closed, and it could be a self-protection, not wanting to be hurt again.
Yeah.
Or it could just be a guy who likes to sleep around.
Mm-hmm. I know a couple of those.
Yeah,
I'm not allowed to say their names on the air.
But I will say it right now.
So fun.
No, of course not.
What song are we on?
Oh, yeah.
Number 10.
Number 10.
That's what I thought. See, I'm trying to go by your numbers there.
Well, I'm all confused because we're jumping around here. And But we'll talk about some more movies in our next hour that are opening this this weekend. But before we get to that, let's play another song from Beautiful Creatures. This one is called Never Too Late by The No-Two.
The No-Two?
The No-Two.
I never heard of them.
The new Toto. How would you say that? New Noto?
The Toto?
The new Toto.
Oh, Toto.
The new Noto.
The new Noto. Or is it the Toto?
It's spelled N-E-W-N-O and the number two.
Oh, it's the number two.
We just number know two. It's a song from a weird-looking movie.
Oh, yes, go number one?
Yeah, don't. Beautiful Creatures.
Huh?
Beautiful Creatures I would not recommend seeing, but there's another young adult series book thing.
And that's why you're playing the song.
Yeah.
And this is 1480 AM Studios KPHX in Phoenix. We'll be right back.
To the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Bela Lugosi's Dead by Churches from Vampire Academy.
That was beautiful, and this is 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. See, we did that right this time.
Okay.
And I like it. You see, it was a double
Bela
team.
Bela Lugosi's Dead.
And they're going to do some... Oh, Bela Lugosi, Dracula.
Bela Lugosi's Dead.
It's a remake.
What?
Remake of Frankenstein.
Bauhaus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Bela Lugosi starring Dracula. And, of course, this is Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside the amazing, and I mean amazing, Joseph Erdo. This guy is a party animal. Greg Isaac.
Keep showing him pictures throughout the break. But, yeah, Greg Isaac is a party animal as well.
He's not a party animal.
No, not at all.
No. He's a great father.
Oh, okay.
No, you are.
Thanks.
Not really.
Okay.
He is.
All right, great.
He led, I led by example. And Eric Reiner. No. Great
also
producer.
Amazing.
Awesome producer, actor, singer, broadcaster, good person.
Musician. Don't forget that. Don't forget everything.
Good person.
I was going to ask to stay on topic for once. Vampire Academy.
Yes. I have
was
not seen
good?
It yet. I have not.
Oh, okay.
I want to. All but right. They didn't. I don't remember if they screened it for press or if they didn't. If they did, it was like right at the last minute, and they made it very difficult for people to see, for the press to see. It didn't do that well at the theater.
Why wouldn't they screen something for the press?
Because they know that it's not very
because
good.
Because it's crap.
Yes. And one, I get to interview someone from a movie. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to, you know. But I get to interview someone from a movie, but I cannot see the movie. They're coming to town. They're screening the movie. I'm not allowed to see the movie. But
I'll interview them. You see the movie.
I'm not allowed to see the movie because I'm press.
You're press?
If I show up, I will not be allowed to go in the theater.
Oh, no. Then yeah. I'll go in the theater.
You can go. You can.
I'm press, too, though.
You can go undercover.
Undercover cop?
No, undercovers with Trish. Oh, wait.
Oh.
No.
Oh, now oh. Joseph's playing that game.
Yeah, good game. Have you ever played that game?
Undercovers? No.
No, undercover with Trish. Oh, he's embarrassed.
Is she listening?
That's getting disgusting.
She's on an airplane. That's why I said it.
Okay, yeah.
She'll never hear it.
She doesn't listen to us?
Yes, she does.
You go to breakradioshow.com.
Under archives.
My daily
under
break. Archives. I'm going to take a nap. I'll be back.
Wow.
No, but truth is I am tired because I did wake up for the Dodger game at 1 in the morning and
yes.
I didn't go back to sleep.
Well, that's a way to stay on topic.
It was a great game, of course.
Yeah?
He had a Dodger dog.
Sure.
Did you see those hot dogs or corn dogs or whatever they are that they're selling? They've got bacon and cheese and everything. It's like they call it a bat or something.
A bat?
It sounds like that Jack in the Box new burger with bacon in it.
Yeah,
I had that. It doesn't. It's not very good.
You know, the TV commercial makes it look so much more better than it is.
Yes.
I had one too, and I think I wanted to vomit after I ate it.
You know what's good? They have these things where you can
it's
make
got
a bork.
A bark?
Bork.
What's a bark?
I don't really
beef and pork. It's bacon in your burger.
No,
I don't really.
Come on.
I don't really.
Let's sing it.
I don't really eat the wieners made out of beef, but the chicken dogs.
You don't.
Those organic chicken dogs are pretty good.
Those better, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Turkey or chicken.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
But Dodger dogs are good. Go to the Dodger Stadium.
All right. Let's take it.
Haven't been there in years.
Oh, you haven't?
Not since I was probably a teenage.
Oh, teenage.
Oh, okay.
I've lived here for 21 years, so.
Where do you live in L.A.?
I lived in Hollywood when I was in L.A., but
wow.
I'm originally from Orange County. So.
Oh, nice. I lived, where
ooh,
did
the
I
OC.
Live?
We
talk about
I'm from the O.C., yeah.
Oh, nice.
But
that's how you do things in the O.C.
Right, yeah, it was nothing
O.C.
like that.
Oh, okay.
O.C. D.C.
So you mean you never met Ryan and Marissa?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Wow, Huntington
or
Beach.
Or Colin Hanks.
Okay,
he's
that's
a
another
cool
one.
Guy.
Yeah.
Was it Jack Black in that movie, too?
Yes.
Is that Jack Black?
And the late Harold Ramis. I think the dean at the
That's right.
school. I think he directed the movie, too.
Why are you guys talking about all these overweight people?
O.C., because it was all in the O.C.
I know, but I'm talking about Misha Barton.
Well, who's that?
She got heavy.
Yeah, she did.
Who's Misha Barton?
She looks good now,
Michelle
but she
soup?
Got pretty heavy.
Ever have Michelle soup?
She had to, like, compensate for what she was before.
Well, I think she was in a mental institute for a while there, too.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
Okay.
But who hasn't, you know?
Who hasn't been to a mental
institution?
Yeah,
who hasn't spent 6 months in a mental institution?
Of course.
Oh.
You know?
I didn't know that.
I'm dropping Bieber off later at one.
Yeah, you know, we got the Meadows right in Wickenburg, right?
What are you doing with Meadows?
It's the addiction place.
Eric,
I'm not
different.
Talking about addiction.
Yeah,
I'm
talking
about
cuckoo.
Looney Tunes.
Oh, Looney Tunes. Okay, well, who hasn't been to both?
Speaking of Bieber, didn't Eric may know this. Didn't Selena Gomez take him back?
That's what I heard, but she also spent some time in rehab.
That's why, yeah.
She said she really didn't have any problems. She
thought it'd be cool.
I think she was addicted to Bieber.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe some Bieber. Well,
we're waiting for our guest to call in, but maybe I have his phone number there for you, right? You want to try giving him a call? He might have forgotten to call.
Whatever
in.
You tell me to do, I will do it.
This was going to be an incoming one, but he might have forgot. He called us in.
Incoming.
He called last week, and so, you know, there's a lot going on. We got a lot of guests here.
What's your shirt say? Shannon, huh?
No, devil.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you thought of her that way. Miss Jones.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway, lot going on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the Phoenix Film Festival in our next hour.
Ooh,
we'll talk a little more
up.
About Divergent in our next hour, some other movies that are coming out. Mm-hmm. And right now we'll try to get our next guest on the line. That's he's on behalf. He's from here in the Valley. We had him on Breakthrough Entertainment before.
Yeah? I remember.
Yes, yeah.
Who is it? All right, you'll tell us in a minute.
We'll tell you in a minute if we're sure that we can get him on the air.
And we still have time to review Almost Human.
Well, yeah, in our next hour, we'll talk about that at the top of the hour, probably, or at the end of the, probably at the end of the show.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of things going on. We'll talk about some of the other themes that we'll have going on.
Coming up
in our next few weeks. It's going to be a great end of March. April. We've got some great shows coming up on Breakthrough Entertainment.
Yeah?
Yeah, so you're going to want to stay tuned to KPHX 1480 AM.
And if you want to hear the St. Paddy's Day special, that was last week.
Yes.
You can go to breakradioshow.com under Archives Breakthrough Entertainment. Hear all the wonderful silliness that sometimes we partake in.
It was one of our best shows to date.
That was good. That was excellent.
Yeah, and so let's talk a little bit about one of the other movies. Did you want to talk, since you mentioned Almost Human, you want to mention talk about that one?
Yeah, I didn't see it. I saw the trailer.
Okay, well,
scared me to death.
Remember we had on the writer-director, Joe Bagos, right?
Yeah.
Well, in the movie, it opened yesterday. It's called Almost Human. Josh Ethier plays a man named Mark who disappears from his home in a brilliant flash of blue light, while Graham Skipper plays his friend Seth, who is the last person to see him alive. Now a string of grisly, violent murders leads Seth to believe that Mark is back and that something evil is inside of him.
Mm.
Ooh, talk about devil, right?
And Miss Jones.
All right, you already did that joke and it fell flat.
Oh, wait, what was this guy's name?
Mark, and yeah, what?
So there was a devil in Mark.
Yes, but anyway.
What's her name?
So this movie, I don't know. Throwbacks, are fun. This is definitely a throwback to kind of the 80s, right? Even when we talked to him, it was kind of like Evil Dead-ish.
Ish,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's all like practical effects, no CGI. And, you know, they're fun so long as they've got something original to share, or at least they're played entirely for laughs. This has got a very promising start in Almost Human, but it plays it more or less by the 80s body-snatching book. With a bit more gore than we're used to seeing in the genre, it fails to bring anything new or even the least bit funny to the table. I will say that it's worth a watch for anyone who does like these, nostalgic type things that are, you know, like Evil Dead. Ultimately, it can't garner a general recommendation from me. It's simply not all that special. Mm. But I will say that writer-director Joe Bagos is a talented guy. I can't wait to see what he comes up with next, because he had some, you know, the right idea here. It ultimately was a thumbs down for me. I know we had him on the show, but I'd love to play a quick clip from our interview with writer-director Joe Bagos. It's on the file near the end, and here we go. Writer-director Joe Bagos.
Well, I grew up in New England, so essentially most of New England is exactly like a Stephen King story. It's like these really dense woods with a very small town. Everybody knows each other, and growing up in that kind of town, you know, I would always watch unsolved mysteries and sightings, and one of my favorite movies was Fire in the Sky. So one of the things that actually frightened me more than anything was alien abduction. So I always had these ideas swirling around in my head about how I would attack an alien abduction movie, and I was also a fan of very brutal 80s-style slashers. So when it became time to make my first movie, you know, based on our limited budget and whatnot, I decided to kind of go back home and do an Evil Dead, Bad Taste-style movie with, a lot of people I grew up with, and just make the craziest kitchen sink alien abduction movie I could.
And, you know, it's definitely like that. He's got a lot of different elements in the movie, so especially if you do like practical special effects and you like this genre, might be worth a look. Like I said, don't put your expectations too high. That might have been my situation. I was a little bit disappointed with it. That's why I'm giving Almost Human a thumbs down.
Well, I don't like those type of movies
right.
Anyway, so it just looked like another scary movie to me. with a lot of gore. Not Al Gore, but a lot of gore. And I just didn't... I just never see the value in these type of movies. Eric, do you see the value in
well,
bloods
sure.
and gore? You do?
I mean, you know, some of them can be fun to watch and, you know, and exciting.
So Cabin Fever?
It's about entertainment. So if it entertains, I don't care what's in it. It's good.
Yeah, usually I don't like those type of. Cabin Fever was pretty good. And there's a few that have been good. I mean, obviously the original Evil Dead, things like that.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer and the movies. Purge 2. And
the Purge 2. Oh, I can't wait.
I don't think you... Did you not like the Purge 1?
I love the Purge.
Okay.
This looked really...
It's number 13 on my best list. It was number 10 on my best list.
I will say, this looked intriguing to me.
Yes.
Because,
anarchy.
Yeah, well, no, the poor little couple on a date and their car breaks down, and now they're in the 12-hour zone.
And did you see the poster for the movie?
No.
One of the best posters I've seen. It is the American flag, but all of the stripes are like machine guns and stuff, different weapons.
I may see this one because it looked... they set it up nicely.
You've got to see the original Purge first.
Oh, I should?
Yes.
So you liked it?
I love the original Purge.
Oh, you haven't seen that?
I haven't. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
And you liked it?
It was good, yeah.
And Greg, you saw it?
It's good, yeah.
You liked it?
It wasn't fantastic, but it was entertaining. Yeah. Entertaining, like I said.
It's different.
If it's entertaining, it doesn't matter what's in it.
That makes sense.
And it's not your typical horror movie because it makes you think a little bit as well.
Yeah, you got to kind of decide. It's good. I think you'd like it.
I mean, the only thing I didn't like about The Purge was the premise that you have this 12 hours to kill whoever you want. I mean, that's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if
like some government
off.
Would really do that.
It was like just complete lawlessness, right?
Yeah, the Tea Party might actually.
Yeah, there's some who would
probably... Yes, I'm sure they'd like to purge.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but I mean, you could do... Is it anything you... and there was no laws at all? Is that what it was?
You just go out and kill whoever you want.
I mean, just killing? Can you take, you know, a bottle of wine and steal it or something?
I'm sure that was part of it, too, but it was mostly, to me, all I saw
killing.
Was just people killing. Like neighbors who are friends were killing each other.
Oh,
like if you were going to go out and cause... If you were going to break a law... Would you like do a little tiny law? Oh, I'm going to steal a bottle of wine? Or would you like go for something big?
No, I wouldn't break any law.
Well, but if you were going to break a law, if you were someone who was going to break a law.
But I'm not.
And you like you were allowed to.
Don't Craig, how about you? You wouldn't either. I don't know.
I would just stay inside.
I would just stay inside, watch, Jennifer Lawrence.
See, that's why I found it hard to believe, too, because most people would not go kill their neighbor.
No.
Right. Well,
99.9% of people would not turn on their neighbor and shoot him in the head.
True. Ooh. But I also want to mention about the Purge 2, the trailer, Anarchy, the song. What isn't it? God Bless America or something?
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, God Bless America is playing in the background. I mean, talk about, you know how we love those songs that are made scary by horror movies?
Yeah, then it gives new meaning, doesn't
it? Yes. So now anytime I hear God Bless America,
you're freaked
out. It's a little bit scary because I'm thinking, okay, who's going to kill me?
Wow, and anytime I think of Shannon, I think her hugging you.
Okay, good for you.
Nightmare. No, I'm kidding. Not really.
What is going on?
I don't know, but it was a good visual.
Okay.
Can't wait for the sequel.
Okay.
Is there a prequel too?
I don't know. Well, you know, in our next hour, we're going to talk a little more about Divergent.
Yeah.
We've got on some sound bites from an interview that I had with them.
Oh.
With a couple of the stars.
Yes, I saw you with them in that picture.
Yeah, did you like that?
The girl.
What was that guy looking at? He's like,
he was looking at his own poster.
Oh.
Oh, was he trying to be funny?
Yeah, he was trying to be funny. I'll tell you the story behind that. I didn't laugh because he kind of ruined my picture.
Yeah,
he did.
I mean, he's like, he's looking off camera, and I was, what is he doing?
Yeah, I was a little annoyed by that, but, you know, okay, he was having fun with it.
Yeah.
He was acting.
Yes.
Yep.
And so was
and
I
promoting.
With that outfit, which was quite awesome, right?
The leprechaun?
I wasn't paying attention to the outfit.
You didn't pay attention to my outfit?
No. Ugh.
Was it the Scottish quilt?
Ugh. No. What?
You look good in a quilt.
A quilt?
Or what's kilt. It called?
Oh,
tilt?
A quilted kilt.
Oh, kilt. Have you been to the Tilted Quilt?
Kilt. Yes.
Who did
it's
you
good.
Kill?
We used to actually broadcast from the Tilted Quilt every, once a week.
You did?
Yeah.
Nice.
What show was it?
It was a racing motor sports show.
Oh, wow. Nice. Which one?
I forget what it's called. It's been a couple
of
years.
The Tilted Quilt.
Right. Well, we'll have a lot more fun in our next hour, and again, we'll talk about the Phoenix Film Festival.
Oh, that's
going
to be cool.
Yes, yeah. So a
one
lot
of the
good
coolest
things coming up.
Festivals in the nation.
Yes, and but coming up,
Eric, Dave, and myself, do we have the similar voice?
No.
Oh, people good. Say we do.
Oh, good.
Oh, he thinks he's talking.
Yeah, the listeners can't tell the difference.
Oh, yeah, God. They can.
They think that, Greg
that's
is saying,
happened before, and I'm like, no, that's
no!
not me.
They think Greg is saying
I start
all that
screaming
stuff.
Too. Yeah.
And this song is from Vampire Academy again.
Again.
In
again.
Your Grave by James Bullitt. This yeah. is really. I like this song.
I'm going to have to change my voice.
I'm giving you a second pass on this one.
I'll plan something on the break.
I want to rock your soul.
There you go. We already
have
our pass.
No, I gave him a pass. We both give him a pass.
Oh, no.
Rock your soul.
We only have one pass, guys.
All right, and this is live at 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Rocking in your grave.
Life can be wicked, love can be mean. You taught me well, no life is sick.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.